worship you, Lord. You are greater. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Glorious in all of your ways, you make my Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is awesome, and we are thankful that He is awesome in our lives. He says that He will make you a wonder, and only somebody that's awesome can make you a wonder. How many people here would like to continue to be a wonder? I would always want to be a wonder, so that when people see the things God is doing in my life, they will be like, wow, He is a wonder. So we thank You. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for being awesome in our life. We love You, Lord. We thank You for Your grace and mercy towards us. We thank You for the life that You have given unto us abundantly. And we say, glory be unto Your name forevermore. We thank You that You are awesome in our life. And we thank You for You always make us a wonder, so that people will see the difference between they that serve You and they that do not serve You, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You could have your seat for a few moments. I'd just like to share some scriptures with us today. The goal today is to pray concerning certain issues in the house, and for the people as well. However, before I pray, I always like to have a discussion or share some scriptures with everyone, so that we are all in the same mindset, because you don't want a situation where we're praying and this person is thinking of this solution and the other person is thinking of that solution. We might be praying the same thing, but then we're not getting the effective results we want. But a situation where we understand why we are praying. He says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. But when we understand, then we know that we are praying towards one common goal. So, praise the Lord. Let us open our Bibles to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And we are focusing on the B part. So it says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end. And then this is the most important part, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I know lots of people used to confuse that, like, oh, He just said men, so women don't need to pray, children don't need to pray. But when He says men, He was talking about us, His children, that we ought always to pray and not faint. That means we should pray without ceasing. We shouldn't say, oh, you know what, things are working now, no need to pray. We shouldn't say, oh, you know what, I prayed about that situation, God resolved it, so I need to stop now. He says, no. Men ought always to pray. I tell people, God is a talking God. I say God is a talkative. He talks a lot. And one issue we have is we are so busy that we don't hear Him talk. And how I know God is a talking God is because when the issue with Adam and Eve happened, He says, and the voice of God came walking. He didn't say, and God showed up. He says, the voice of God came walking. That means they always heard God talk. But on this specific day, they trembled. They were like, oh, yeah, He's coming. So God is a talking God. We always have to listen. And He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, men ought always to be talking. He says, keep saying it. Keep saying it. In the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It only prevailed because they kept saying it. So the word will only prevail because we keep praying. we are not fainting. We keep praying. We keep praying without ceasing. We keep praying without ceasing. The next scripture I want us to read is Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. It says, again I say unto you, that if two shall agree on earth, where we are right now, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The sweet part of this is, it didn't say, if any two shall shout. It didn't say, they must bring God down. It didn't say they might climb to the mountains. It didn't say, if any two shall shake up this world. It didn't say, if any two shall break things or shall shout to each other, do this or do that. No, he says, if we should, keyword, agree. And this brings me back to the point where I said we might be praying concerning the same thing, but in my mind, I want this solution. This other person wants this solution. We will not get an effective result. But when we agree, that means we come together. See, he says, if any two shall agree on earth, touching anything that they shall ask. So, touching anything, that means you and I, we come together. We speak about this. Oh, this is what's going on. We need to pray about this. Key word is, this is the kind of result we want. So when I say this is the kind of result we want, that means you know the result and I know the result. That means when we're praying, we have one solution in mind. This one is not thinking, oh, God has to do it this way or God has to do it that way. It says we are agreeing. And I always tell people, do not short-circuit God's blessings for your life. When I say short-circuit, it means you're praying to God and you're telling him, Lord, this is how I want you to answer this thing. You see, God is a God that doesn't take instructions. He doesn't take, you can tell him, oh, God, you know what? Bless me, but I want Brother Byron to be the one you use. You know what? You're going to be there all day. And the funny thing is, even if it was Brother Byron he was going to use, just because you gave him instructions, he would hold off and be like, okay, let's let Moses learn. You shouldn't give God instructions. And that's why he says that we should walk in him. He says, he whose mind is stayed on him, not he who gave me instruction. He says he will give him perfect peace. So how is my mind stayed on him? That means every day when I think. See, the sweet thing is the scripture is linked to each other. So when I'm meditating on the word, I'm like, you said he whose mind is stayed on him, but how can my mind be stayed on you? And then I think of the scripture that says, oh, he said, when you think about these things, whatsoever is true. He said, whatsoever is of good report. Okay, so if I'm thinking about these things, that means my mind is stayed on him because he gave me this instruction to think about these things. So now my mind is stayed on him. I'm no longer worried. Oh, bills need to be paid. That's not a good report. What? Yeah. Yes. So it says, think on these things. It says, think on these things. So I'm thinking, good report. Good report says that Christ died so I might have life more abundantly. Good report says I'm healed, restored, and made whole. That means I can't say I am sick. If I say I'm sick, that's not a good report. So I don't need to think about that. Good report says the Lord shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. These are things he's saying to think about. And the reason he says think on these things is because as a man thinketh, so he is. So if I'm thinking I'm broke, if I'm thinking there's pain, guess what? It's going to amplify. So now I'm thinking on these things. So because I'm doing this, my mind is stayed on him. And guess what? Perfect peace. Now I'm not worried that the bill is piling up, because what happens is when your mind is stayed on him, you become somebody that's filled with solutions. What I've noticed is whenever I'm going through challenges and I'll be so caught up, oh, Lord, this is going on, this is going on. And God, calm down. This thing you're doing, is it going to solve this situation? I'm like, oh, Lord, no. And then it switches my mind to start thinking solution-based. Okay, how do we fix this thing? And that is where God comes in. Okay, Lord, how do I fix this thing? Okay, it would order your steps. See, the scriptures come into place again. I will order your steps. So it's like, okay, do this. I've had situations where I had to fix computers. I have never done this before. And guess what I do? I'm like, Lord, you said, let he that ask wisdom ask. I have not done this before, but I thank you, Lord, for giving me the mindset to fix this. And immediately, the Holy Spirit starts speaking. Okay, test this, test that, test that, test that. And next thing, boom, it's working. And this is because I've learned to trust the Holy Spirit in situations like this. Why? Because he said, I will give you a helper. I would give you a helper. So whenever I'm in situations, I know nothing of, Holy Spirit, help me. No ego. Holy Spirit, help. I need your help right now, Lord. See, God is so happy when I say that. Lord, I need your help right now. Some people feel like, you know what, maybe God is too busy with other things. No. He loves when you say, Lord, help me now, because it means I am reliant on you, Lord. I cannot, and I say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Help me, Lord. Show me what to do. And you have to see, we have an extraordinary strategist, the Holy Spirit. So when you want to pray, he says the devil is skillful. So how do you fight somebody that's skillful? You also have to be extraordinary strategist. So when I pray, I make sure my prayer is strategic. I don't start shouting, Lord, oh, I'm dying. This trouble is so big. No, I'm like, Lord, help me in this situation. Show me what to do. If there's nothing I'm not seeing here that you would like me to see, please open the eyes of my understanding so that I can see. And the Lord begins to open your eyes. Oh, you know what that person said the other day? That's the answer. Apostle, I've spoken many times where the Lord showed him something. And then a few months later, it's like, oh, this was what God was talking about. Or the church, I think he mentioned one where he drived through the place. He never saw the church there until the time came that that location was needed. And boom, the eyes of my understanding opened. Enlightenment. So God, you just need to ask. And he says, if we agree, touching any matter, touching sickness, touching pain, touching finances, touch. You touch, right? That means if we speak about this thing, touching, and we agree on the results, he says that the Father which is in heaven, he will answer them. It shall be done. And then the last scripture I want to read before we pray is James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. And that's the part B. So it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. And then this is the most important part. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Another scripture, another version says, the effective, heartfelt, intense prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic at its working. Dynamic at its working. I always think of the word dynamic. That means regardless of what the situation is, it will work itself out. So the effectual fervent prayer, heartfelt, continuous prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. So then this ties back to the first scripture. Men ought always to pray. So if I ought always to pray, and it's telling me effectual fervent prayer, continuous, that means I ought always to pray, and I ought to continue praying. Even when I see a result, I continue praying. That's why I say in the good times and the bad times, pray and thank God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the reading of the scripture. We ask that you add a blessing to the words that we've read today. I would like us to, after we've heard all this today, to come in agreement, touching certain things today and expecting a result, one goal. Some of the things we would be praying today would be concerning the youth in the church, concerning this church as a household, concerning the church services and healing. We'll pray about ministry and resources. And we want to touch on these things. And the reason why I wanted us to read those scriptures first was because so that while we're praying and touching these things, this scripture is coming to mind. Okay, while I'm touching this thing, in agreement with Brother Byron, in agreement with this person, or we are agreement with that person, while I'm touching on this thing, it would keep ringing in your mind as you're praying that God is answering, because you are ordained to receive answers to your prayer, because this is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. So because we are touching on these things, we're making tremendous power available, dynamic at its working and causing change in Jesus' mighty name. So I want us to pray together for the youth in the house. We want the youths to continue to grow. We want more youths to come in the church because there are so many craziness going on in the world out there. And sometimes it might feel like, oh, it's boring. I don't want to be here. It's boring. But we want them to know that this is the house of the Lord. It might be boring or it may feel boring to you, but the moment you key in, it doesn't become boring, because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. As it's right on, there are pleasures evermore. Hearing these things, you can't find boredom. With God, things are exciting. Even the challenges you face, exciting. Why? Because he says, count it all joy. It worketh for you a far much greater glory. So let's pray together concerning the youths in this house in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the youths in this house and the ones that are coming. Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you draw them near to you. Lord, that you turn your heart around in the name of Jesus. Yes, we thank you. You are causing change in the lives of these youths, that they would think positive thoughts in the name of Jesus, that they would know that in your house, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Yes, pleasures evermore. Heavenly Father, no boredom in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you turn things around in the lives of the youth, that they wouldn't be out there stealing, wouldn't be out there doing things they shouldn't be doing. In the name of Jesus, Lord, the youths in this city, the youths in this household, the youths in this country, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, Lord, are touching their lives. In the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit is ministering to them. Yes, we are sending out ministering angels this moment, Lord, to begin to touch the lives of the youth in this house. Yes, you will make them great men and women in the name of the Lord. Yes, thank you, Heavenly Father, that their names will be mentioned in the mouths of many for good. They will shake up this nation. Yes, they are the best among their peers in the name of Jesus. Whatever is concerning them, Lord, you said you are perfecting. No member of this church that is a youth, yes, will fall into the wrong things in the name of Jesus. Lito kabati kisi rata kidi kida Melita koso tolo brekidi kadadashti rata katolo dobo koso tolo dobo do shekete tesete ligete sekele bodo kosombro do goshiti. Yes, you will use them for your glory in the name of Jesus. Now the word will come. Yes, their hearts are fertile grounds in the name of Jesus. Now the word will come and stay. It will germinate. It will grow in the name of Jesus. La kotobro de kese ritete de badaka shande de gidi yatusi. Mante blakitele le breketele de bosha. Jeko tolo bodo kose. Ritiketele bakatala mando do shekele deske. Ligere do sombre de ikat atuskele dasha. La katolo bodo boso tolo bodo doshti. No youth in this house is going to jail. In the name of Jesus. No youth in this house is going to jail. No youth in this house is going into drugs. In the name of Jesus. No youth in this house is going into stealing. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you will order their steps in the name of Jesus. Rato poko shidi ike talada basende deshi lopo to sokote deshi radeke tele debo dobo sombre di kiri gadashi. Katala kadies kadanashi gede la bandiri radike tele beke tele mondo sobre gediata rata ko sobro do gobo shondo do do borbosi rike tele de brogo do bo shalamanta kataya la mandedish lirike toso teke shalama mama manda kadadashti lire katala da brages gede de boshti. In Jesus mighty name we pray, amen, amen. Now we I've prayed about the youth in this house. But it's one thing to pray about the youth in a specific location, in a body, in an organization. But without praying for that organization, you're not starting from the root. And because we're praying about the youth in this church, I want us to also pray for the church. I want us to pray for the body. You see, what I teach the Sunday school, I say we're all working together. You're teaching me, I'm teaching you. I'm not just coming here like, oh, Brother Moses, I'm the head. Listen to me alone. No, you're teaching me and I'm teaching you. I'm learning. And that's why whenever I teach them, I'm always attentive to the question. In fact, there was a day one of them said something and it took me back and I was like, whoa. I've never thought about this way before. And I was like, okay, so now I understand why I have to continue fighting this battle. She said something. She said, maybe the reason you keep having this situation is because you haven't passed the test. I was like, I never thought about this before, because I always, like, there are things in our lives we know that even if I pass everything, this thing just keeps, it doesn't go away. Why? Why is this thing always coming? So when she said that, I was like, you know what? That might be the reason why. Because God is, and the reason why I thought about it that way was because back home, I don't know how they do it here, but back home, so you have grade one, grade two here, right? Back home, it's primary one, two, three. You could not move to the next class until you wrote an exam and proved that you were ready for the next class. So if you failed, you repeated that class. Now you fail and repeat, that's problems, because now your parents have to pay school fees again for that same year. Oh, Lord. So parents were on everyone's neck. You got to come out first in class. So now every parent wants their children first. I know times I came out second and my dad would be like, oh, good. But did the person who came out first have two heads? No. but the thing is, it pushed everybody to not want to fail. So now when you got to the next class, you knew you were ready because you passed the exam. So thinking about that, I thought about this. You know what? In real life, there was no way I could go to the next class until I passed this exam. So why do I think it's any different from the situations I face? If I'm asking God for patience and I keep failing that test of patience, that's going to keep coming. Something is going to keep testing my patience. So when she said that, I was like, you know what? I never thought about this way. So you see, I'm teaching them and they are teaching me. So now when we pray for this household, this body, It's called the body for a reason. Because even though we have apostles here as the head teaching, he says the head, the hand cannot say, you know what, head, do your thing. I don't need you anymore. Neither can the head say, leg, stay in your lane. I can function on my own. I know there's a funny thing. He says if the husband is the head, the wife is the neck. So you can't turn except the wife is there. She helps. The same way the body of Christ. You are helping. You are helping. You're helping. I am helping. We're doing everything we can. If it takes just, oh, when I came in, the chair looked bad, put it in place. There are times I see things, I don't start screaming, oh, this thing is not working. If I don't know what to do, I speak with the person that I believe would have an idea. So we're all working. It's a common goal. And that's why that scripture says, if two touching anything come in agreement, that means for us to be in here today, we've come in agreement. You didn't come here because you came to fight someone. No, you came in agreement. You're here because you know that you should be here today. You know that God has called you to be here. You didn't come here because you're trying to look for faults. Oh, well, how are they going to put the screen today? Or how is apostle going to preach today? Or maybe like finding faults in what somebody says. No, we came here because we came to listen. And it only takes a mindset of agreement to be able to say, you know what? I will sit down and listen to what this person has to say. So our body, the hand is functioning, the head, the leg, everything functioning together. So let's pray for the household that there is no confusion, that there is order in the church. Because he says in the last days, there'll be lots of things going on. Fake preachers, fake this, fake that. One I always tell people is wolves in sheep clothing. That means, when he said that, he wasn't saying the people outside. He said it's the one inside. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, if my sheep. Okay, so that means in the house, not outside. So he says, you shouldn't even be worried about the outside. Be more worried about what's going on inside. Because you don't want a situation where this one would be like, somebody comes in church today, he be like, you heard Apostle preach yesterday? You enjoyed the preaching? Come, let me show you church. Let's go. That's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because they just came here to drag you out. So we should be more worried about the inside, not even the outside. So let us pray that there is order in the church, that the Lord gives us a discerning spirit. I always tell people that God has trained me to anticipate evil. That means before it happens, you know. Why? It's not witchcraft. It's not voodoo. The scripture says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. So if I can anticipate evil, it's because the Holy Spirit is showing me things to come. So let him show you things to come. If that's not been working for you, or if you have not activated that part of your life, today is the day you activate it. Because we are in times where we can only be reliant on God. So let's pray for the church. And thank God that there is order in this church. That it would help us to be able to test the spirit. We don't just like, oh, because this person comes to this church, okay, yeah, whatever he says is right. Test it. Right? And even the scripture says, don't be hearers alone, be doers of the word. In other words, don't just hear what apostle preach. Go and do it too. Work it. He said, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. That means you're working the scriptures. You're working the things apostle has preached. You're working the things that you've studied. And you will not be ashamed because you know that this thing works. So let's pray for the church. Let's pray for order in the church. Let's pray that there is no confusion, that whatever the enemy is putting in place that we're not seeing to destroy the congregation, to destroy the relationships, to destroy the function of the body, that we would be able to anticipate it and stop it before it happens. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, you are giving us the ability to anticipate evil. Lord, we thank you that any confusion that is going to happen in the church, we would be able to anticipate and see it before it happens, Heavenly Father. Lord, there is no confusion in your house in the name of Jesus. Yes, your body, the leg will not say it doesn't need the head. So we all need each other, Heavenly Father. So we thank you that there is order in the church in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, there is no confusion, that the words we hear, Heavenly Father, we will be able to work it out. We will work it out in the name of Jesus so that we are not ashamed. We know that the word works in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. No confusion, no fighting in the name of Jesus. Yes, prepare us, Heavenly Father, for times where there might be wolves in sheep's clothing. Lord, so that we may be able to stay away from people like that. Lord, you will cut off those people away from the household in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Your body will continue to grow. He says the church is the strongest entity that existed. So, Lord, we will not self-sabotage in the name of Jesus. Lord, we will be successful witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, this church is growing. Glory and Peace Church is growing in the name of Jesus, touching every part of the world in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the word that is coming out of here, Lord, it will touch lives. It will change lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Yes, that the name Glory and Peace, the name Glory and Peace will function in people's life, that they would have peace in their life. They would have glory in their life in the name of Jesus. Let's pray for church services as well, that the words that are coming, when we listen to it, that we are edified in the name of Jesus, that people will come to church when they listen to the word, it would be answers to the questions in their hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for church services. Yes, your word will continue to flow in the name of Jesus. Your word will continue to flow. That people will come here with questions, and those questions will be answered in services in the name of Jesus. That as Apostle preaches, Lord, you will speak through him. You will speak the answers through him, so that people will not leave here the same way they came in the name of Jesus. They will leave rejuvenated. They will leave transformed in the name of Jesus. They will not leave broken. They will leave changed in the name of Jesus. Those that come in with sickness, with pain, with infirmity, Heavenly Father, during the service, your word will flow. Lord, your presence will flow. Lord, your anointing will flow. And the sick will be healed in the name of Jesus. Liko bradesi, retekedi shele maman torobosi, makatala dabadaki shele de debo sombrodoshi, lato sekete, malakite le debo dobododo sonobrodoshi, radekete le debo sombre de gede de debo shalamanda kadadashi, makatosi, Lide keti di debashon dobre gede seble keti di debashta yakasata lamanda. Yes, the word is working mightily in this house in the name of Jesus. Glory and Peace Church, the word is working mightily. No matter what the circumstance, Lord, what we feel or we see, the word will continue to work mightily in this household, in this church, in the name of Jesus. We are touching every part of this world in the name of Jesus. Lord, for the Mimshak anointing is upon Glory and Peace Church, the anointing of expansion. Yes, Lord, we are expanding. We are expanding in the name of Jesus, touching lives in the name of Jesus. We will continue to be successful witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Wow, awesome. God is good. Now I want us to pray about one important thing. I tell people, as Christians, there are lots of things we could struggle with, but there are few that the devil will always attack every Christian, and that would be finances and health. Why? Because the devil knows that money is a defense. For example, if they decide they're going to shut down the church, your money is going to be the defense. If they say, well, we're going to take you out, you can't use this building anymore, money will be the defense. Okay, well, take it. We'll get a different place. Or if God says we fight for this place, then we fight for this place. So finances and health. In the aspect of finances, you need the finance as a defense. In the aspect of health, if you're in pain, you can't serve God properly. Right? Headache. It's like saying I have headache and I want to play the drum. Well, that is a bad mixture. Because the sounds come in and thank you, Lord, for grace. So those two things, we could fight every battle and win, but those are two battles that we will continue to always fight, because the devil, the enemy, knows that these two things, if the Christian, if the child of God can succeed in these two areas, they're gone. I have no hold on them anymore. And that is why you would see sometimes, back pain, my neck, headache, how come my eyes are dry? Like little things here and there. And this is where we train ourselves to speak the right thing. I don't remember when last I said I was sick. If I get that pain, I refuse a sharp pain in the name of, I don't care what it is. And I tell people one of the reasons why we say the things we say is because we have too much access to information. Information overload, that's what I say. I'll give you an example. When I was in Nigeria, there were some things, for example, cancer. That's not something that fully, it's not something, it's rare back home, right? So if I had a lump somewhere, I am not thinking cancer. I'm like, what's this? Okay. Then I come to Canada, more information. I hear people having cancer. Oh, this kind of cancer, or that kind of cancer. And guess what happens? I see a small pain or lump somewhere, and where do you think my mind goes to? Oh, this might be cancer. And I'll refuse cancer in the name of Jesus. So you see, most of the things we think of or say to ourselves is because of the access to that information. And I explained to the Sunday school kids, I'm like, God, the way God spoke when I just got born again, 1997, I always tell God, Heavenly Father, I want you to speak that way again. Why? Because the Lord, somebody would ask me, when is this going to happen? And I would just say it without thinking twice. And it would happen. When is the power going to come on? 5 minutes. Boom. There was power. I didn't have to do a snail mail. It wasn't a 2 business days request. No. I said it, and God did it. And then as I grew older, I found out it became difficult. I could pray, and then it takes 1 month to get a result. Lord, this isn't now, where is that joy of me being born again? Why is it taking 2 weeks? Your scripture didn't say it's going to take 2 weeks. But guess what happened? It was because, and the children asked me, what do you think changed? And I explained to them, you know what? Too much information. Why? Because when you were younger, if your dad told you he was going to get you an airplane, would you believe? Yes. Ooh, airplane, wow, dad is going to buy me. 7 years old, your dad takes you to the airport and you saw how big the airport is and he tells you, I'm going to get you the airplane. What do you think of? Dad, are you sure? Why? Because now you have the information. Because when you were little, you used to see it up there, so tiny. Now it takes you to the airport and you saw how big it is. Now you process that information. And you think about your living. Dad, are you sure you can get this thing? So the problem is not that we don't believe or we don't have faith. It's because we have too much information now that is messing up the original belief system that God gave to us. The same thing with Adam and Eve. Can you imagine that somebody, God gave the power to name animals and every other thing, started trembling at the voice of the Lord? Like, how? Lord, we heard you coming and we were naked, so we were hiding. Who told you? See? New information. Because before the apple, was that information there? Nope. So God could come in, boom, boom, boom. Oh, hey, Adam, hey. But when new information came in, oh, God is coming. I don't want him to see me naked. Even God would be shocked, like, who told you? Where did you get that information from? That's not the information I gave you. So it's not that we don't believe. It's not that that belief system is not there. It's just that we have too much information now that is messing up with those things. That's why when you just got born again, you could say healed, and it's healed. 1 year later, healed, the pain is still there. Why? You've gathered too much information that's messing up with the first information God gave you that said, if any man shall see, move. He didn't say if you pray. See, the Bible is filled with principles. When you go to the bank and you know you have money in your bank, do you put your ATM card and say, I hope money comes out? Oh, I hope money comes out. No. So that's how the word of God works. You don't start saying, I hope money comes. No, it says, say to this mountain, move. It didn't say pray. It didn't say shout. It says, say to it, move. He said, you shall heal the sick. It didn't say, oh, you shall pray and shout. No, you shall heal the sick. So that means I've been given the power to heal the sick. So we want to pray today that whatever information we have gotten that's skewing our faith, we're going to put it to work today. And we would pray for Sister Judy Woloshen and any sick among us for God to heal, deliver, and set them free. And the reason I said everything I was saying before I said this was, going back, there are two things the devil doesn't want us to succeed at: finances and health. So this is where I want you to, after hearing this thing, put your faith to work. Don't let whatever information you've heard skew your belief system, in that whatever you say today, as you're praying, wherever they are healed, restored, and made whole. In the name of Jesus, let's pray for healing in the house. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word says that let he that is sick say, I am well. They say, let the weak say, I am strong, because of what the Lord has done. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, that everyone in this household is healed, restored, and made whole. Whatever pain, infirmity, or disease anyone might be going through, they are healed. We thank you for Sister Judy Woloshen. Whatever she is going through right now, Heavenly Father, we call her out of that in the name of Jesus. Pain, out now in the name of Jesus. Infirmity, out now in the name of Jesus. Lord, no stronghold of sickness shall be able to put her down, because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our body is under obligation to respond to the word of God. And the word of God says, they that dwell in Zion shall never say, I am sick. She will not say she is sick. Nobody in this household will say they are sick in the name of Jesus, because they are healed, restored, and made whole. No pain, no infirmity, no disease. He says, there's the prayer we prayed, that no virus has the capacity or power to control our existence in the name of Jesus. Our body is not conducive for any pain. Our body is not conducive for any virus. Our body is not conducive for any infirmity in the name of Jesus. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So no sickness, no pain, no infirmity, no disease will come upon our body in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this ministry, Heavenly Father. No pain in this ministry, no pain in this church, no pain in this household, in the name of Jesus. Yes, we continue to speak healing. We're sending out ministering angels in the name of Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit is getting to work now. Yes, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet to the tips of their toe, pain out in the name of Jesus. We're speaking strength. Their strength is renewed in the name of Jesus. Liko Bado Sebradish. Shekete le mondo do shikadaya. La kosobredek. Rekete le dedebo sombrede. La katala. Any information that we have heard that is skewing our faith, that is skewing our belief system, the one we got when we got born again. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are returning us to our first love. You're returning us to our first love. You're restoring us to our first love. Those times where we spoke and it came to pass immediately, where we did not have to wait for long and we saw results in the name of Jesus, where there was power when we spoke, where there was power when we spoke. For your word says there is power in the mouth of this king. He says where the word of the king is, there is power. And Lord, you have made us kings and priests unto you. So there is power in the things we say. When we speak, there is power in the name of Jesus. When we speak to the body, there is power. When we speak to our finances, there is power. When we speak to our job, there is power. When we speak to anything concerning us, there is power in the name of Jesus. Dynamic at its working. It is causing change. For you said when there is no change as yet, you will show up. Thank you, Heavenly Father. No pain, infirmity, or disease in this household. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let us use this opportunity to, how many people here have been blessed by this ministry, by the words that come out from the mouth of apostle? I have. And I know he mentions it, how he travels, so most times he's not here. And we enjoyed his presence during the COVID because he was around more. And we know that soon he's going to start going for mission trips. But there's something he always says. And I'm glad he says that, because most times we might think, okay, well, he's not here, he's doing his thing, so I don't feel like I belong. So I'm glad that he says it a lot, that when I'm out there, you're there with me. So this comes back to what I said about we function together as a body. The head cannot say, like, if apostle trusts that service will continue to go on even when he's not physically here. And that is because he knows that the hand is not going to say, I need to do my thing. I don't need the head anymore. He knows that even if he's not here physically, the body continues to function properly. So we thank God that it trusts us in that aspect. And I want us to also use this opportunity now to pray for the ministry trips. What I tell people is, every time you step out of your house, it's a risk you're taking. Why? In that you could be fully safe in your house. Nothing's going to happen to you except somebody, like, except an external force comes in. But nothing can happen to you in your house. But the moment you step out, you're beginning to take risks. Now, your mindset switches to mitigating risk, right? When you're driving, you're trying to be safe. You don't want to go too fast or too slow. Like, there are so many things going on. And when Apostle goes out to for this ministry trips, anything could happen. But we know that because God sent him, nothing is going to happen. He will continue to protect him. Before when we heard Pakistan, the first mindset that comes to you is like war. But Apostle says it all the time. We've been reaching so many people from this house. So I want us to pray for these ministry trips that Apostle is taking, that he will not get to a point where he becomes too tired or too familiar. You know, when you continue to do something, you'll be like, you know what, it's just another trip. No, we want that excitement to still be there. Because when Christ was doing the healing, when he was teaching, he was always excited. In fact, people thought something was wrong with Christ. Why are you sitting with these taxpayers or these tax collectors? But he was always excited. He didn't care the environment. And do you know the sweetest part? Christ was calm. I always say people, Christ wasn't no punk. Like, he was so calm, But when he spoke, oh Lord, whenever I think about Christ, and this is one of the reasons, once in a while, I try to watch the movie The Passion of Christ to remind myself. It's one thing to read and hear of what Christ did, but seeing, and even if that depiction wasn't the full, like the full thing, but that's almost close to what Christ went through. My mom till date cannot finish that movie because when she saw the pain, the whooping, I break down and cry each time I watch it like a man. I couldn't take a belt. But he was taking whipping that was peeling off his skin. And he says, no greater love than that, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. We could say the same thing, no greater love that a man would leave his church and go out there to win souls, to preach, doing the work of the Lord. Even when he's tired, he's still going. No greater love. He could stay home here and enjoy preaching here. No problem with that. God is not going to be upset. You're still doing my work. But you know what? God is the only person that fires you and lets you keep your job. I don't think I want to be in that place. Why? I spoke to the children's church about that. What do you mean God fires you and lets you keep your job? I said, yeah, everything would keep working. Things will still work like normal, but you are not moving forward. You're not moving backward. It's just working. You're still winning souls for him, but you're not moving forward or backward. That means God fired you, but he let you keep your job. I don't want to be in that place. I would like to know that I'm in the right standing with God. I don't want to know that God did this on me. No. So, Apostle could decide, you know what? I can stay and preach here. And who knows, God may just fire him and let him keep the job. And we would continue to enjoy the preaching, not knowing our pastor has been fired. But we're just enjoying his preaching because God is still using him. So we thank God that we have a man of God that listens. And you hear him, he says, you know what, I didn't want to do this, but God said it, I'm doing it. So what manner of love that a man would leave his congregation and go out there, regardless of how dangerous the place might be, but he's going there to do the work. So we want to pray about this ministry trip, that God will continue, just like he did with the Israelites, go before him and after him, protect him, order his steps, tell him, don't go this way or don't turn this way. Tell him, okay, you know what, wait one more day. Or, oh no, go a day earlier. We want his antenna to be fine-tuned so that it doesn't miss when God gives the instruction. We want to pray that this ministry trip, that those grounds become fertile grounds so that when God uses apostles to preach, the word will come and it will be received. That every resource that is needed for these trips will be provided. Even costs that haven't been covered, that the Lord will provide. Because when the United States or Canada sends the army, they don't let the army fend for themselves. Does the army go there and say, oh, you know what, I need to buy my fighter jet? No, they provide it. So if God is sending his own agent, his own general, we trust that he will also provide. We trust that he will provide for his children. He will provide for his church. So we want to use this opportunity to thank God and pray concerning this ministry trip, the resources that are needed, helping hands. I say destiny help us, the ones that, Lord, we should come across, that one word changes a lot of things. Now is the time for them to come because the enemy is working swiftly. So we need to also work strategically and fast. So we thank God. Let's pray. Let's pray for the ministry trips. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the ministry trip. We thank you, Lord. Help us to work together. Help us to function together. Because we are a body. Heavenly Father, that apostle travels for these trips. Lord, go before him and after him in the name of Jesus. Even Pastor Maria, that you cover her in the name of Jesus, in your love, in your bosom, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that resources that are needed for these trips, Lord, you are providing. Because they are not going to do their own job. They are going to do the work that you have sent them to do. So we thank you, Lord, that you are providing, whether it be finances, whether it be renewed strength, whether it be destiny helpers, whether it be helping hands, Lord, whether it be a team, Lord. Lord, you are providing. You are providing for them. For you said they will not lack. Yes, your children will not lack. We will live in plenty. We will live in abundance. He says the blessing of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow. So this trip's apostle is going. Lord, you will continue to reward the labor of love in the name of Jesus. You will continue to reward the labor of love. Lord, you will continue to renew his strength in the name of Jesus. Yes, he is going to be rejuvenated in the name of Jesus. Even Pastor Maria, rejuvenated in the name of Jesus, giving them strength that they never thought they had in the name of Jesus. Lord, that the grounds they are going to preach, you are making it fertile grounds in the name of Jesus, so that when the word comes, it will grow. It would be planted, it would grow, it will germinate in the name of Jesus and bring forth results in the name of Jesus. We will hear of testimonies from these countries, from these locations, from these cities, Lord, that the pastors are going to, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You will use them for your glory. Yes, that through these ministry trips, Heavenly Father, lives will be changed. Lives will be turned to you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for renewing hearts, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for you will continue to speak through your son. Continue to speak through your daughter. You continue to speak through your church. Yes, for the church is the strongest entity that existed. And Lord, you will use us to shake up this world before this coming in the name of Jesus. That every country that Apostle and Pastor Maria steps into, Lord, you will use them. You will use them to change that country. You will use them to cause positive change in that country. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for resources. Lord, we thank you that you are providing finances, teams, in the name of Jesus. Yes, there will be no lack in the name of Jesus. In this household, no lack. Even when they are going, they are properly kept in the name of Jesus. They are protected in the name of Jesus. You are going before, behind, and after them in the name of Jesus. You are bringing them home safely in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that Apostle will continue to listen to your word. Yes, he will continue to hearken to your word in the name of Jesus and do as he's told in the name of Jesus. Thank you for renewing his strength. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for you will continue to encourage him. You will continue that he's encouraged. He will not get weary in the name of Jesus. Yes, he will not get too familiar in the name of Jesus that he forgets the excitement that comes with you sending him. He will continue to be excited as you send him. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Wow. God is good. That is awesome. Yes. Wow, wow, wow. Concerning these things, all things are possible. Concerning these things, all things are possible. That's how I want to end it today. Concerning these things, all things are possible. Youth, all things are possible. Church, all things are possible. Church services, all things are possible. Judy Woloshen and any sick among us, for God to heal them, all things are possible. Ministry trip, all things are possible. Continued resources, all things are possible. So what I want us to go home with today is whatever you've forgotten that God was able to do, because of the too much information that has skewed the belief you got when you got born again, always remember that all things are possible. God is in control. In my life, God is in control. In my finances, God is in control. In this church, God is in control. That means he is the one flying this plane. Regardless of what he says, the word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily. God is in control. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed today. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we thank God for the opportunity to fellowship together. Thank you for coming today and fellowshipping as well. Things are working. Yes, thank you, thank you. And if you have your offering and haven't given, you could do that. And we thank God for press down, shaking together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom, and the devourer shall be rebuked for your sake, because you gave your tithe and offering. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful evening.